From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It is, in fact, exciting. It's exciting. I'll tell you why. We got legendary comedian Robert Klein joining us later. But first, everybody, you probably heard this, everybody inside the Beltway has been talking about this pool party held at the Vice President's residence for members of the White House press corps. Well, it's not surprising we weren't invited after what happened last year.
I swear, Peter, Biden told me it was bathing suit optional.
Anybody could make that mistake, I guess, Carl. Well, whatever you're wearing, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andrew from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, now, what do you do there?
I am an investment analyst.
Really?
Yes.
So you say that's a good investment or that's a bad investment?
Down to a nutshell, yeah.
There you go. I could do it.
No? I just get out my darts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
Next, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and an author of the book now in paperback, Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Andrew. Always nice to hear from my adopted hometown.
All right.
And lastly, say hello to a comedian performing June 19th at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
Hi, Paula.
Andrew, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I am ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
We talk to these folks because they potentially have the best answers. So I know whose ass to kick.
That was somebody on the Today Show doing his best to show how very, very mad he really is. Who?
That would be President Obama.
Yes, indeed. After weeks of pressure from the media, citizens, the left and the right, to finally show a little anger, Obama did it. He showed a little anger. A tiny little anger. This gesture was obviously a pathetic attempt to pretend the president was something he is not. It was like Dukakis going for a ride in that tank, or George H.W. Bush saying he likes pork rinds, or Bill Clinton getting married.
Who was the last president we had who was a viable ass kicker anyway? Lyndon?
Well, Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson and I have put the boot in, I think, quite legitimately.
Teddy Roosevelt was an
Teddy
ass
Roosevelt.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, that's a long time ago. Lyndon was really the last.
Yeah, he kicked bears, didn't he?
Now Nixon would hire criminals to kick the
exactly.
ass.
Exactly. What's interesting, though, is that now President Obama has crossed this line. He's going to go all the way. In fact, the president has started revisiting some of his more famous speeches from the past. He's going to try to make him more angry, more salty. We have some tape. Let's hear it.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, yes, we can.
There you go. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
It's been crazy. People are blowing vuvuzelas, and the motorists caught in traffic are blowing their hooters.
That was a South African expressing amazement, we think, about the enthusiasm in that country for what big event starting this weekend?
Well, that would be the World Cup.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it's the World Cup. The quadrennial world sporting event during which America, usually the world's only superpower, suddenly has all the sway and swagger of the island nation of Palau. As always, in the face of certain defeat, we Americans pretend not to care. In fact, one year we just tried to pick up our ball and go home. But then all these foreign people got mad and yelled, "You can't pick up the ball!"
What was the first word?
What are they blowing, Carl?
They're blowing vuvuzelas.
So we had to look this up. Vuvuzelas are these trumpets that are really popular in South Africa, especially among soccer fans. You know, the ones you see, like the Romans blow them to introduce something. That's what they look like, those long trumpets. Wait. And they're very popular in South Africa.
Do what?
That sounded actually kind of like a kazoo. I'm sorry.
Don't mock a man's vuvuzela, Roxanne.
Is it vuvuzelus?
No, it's vuvuzela.
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 When you looked it up, where did you look it up?
Wikipedia. Where else?
Oh, well, then we know it's true.
Yeah. All right, here is your last quote.
Stop me if you've already seen this.
That was Steve Jobs admitting at this week's big Apple event that he wasn't the first one to show us the new what?
iPhone.
Right. Maybe it was because the Gizmodo website already leaked all the features of the new iPhone months ago, but even Jobs seemed to know the excitement was gone this time when he introduced the new iPhone 4. Our relationship with the iPhone has somehow faded. You find yourself just pushing its button over and over just to get a reaction. Then one day it happens. You slip up, and in the heat of a texting session, you call it a BlackBerry.
I am with my original iPhone.
Really?
Yes. I'm not the kind of person that throws it over for the latest model.
What does it have that the other ones don't have, the new iPhone?
It's newer.
It's blonder.
It's younger.
It's younger.
It's thinner.
Carl, how did Andrew do in our quiz?
Well, you cannot do better, Peter. Andrew had 3 correct answers, so he wins our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. We want to remind everybody that most weeks you can join us right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago's Loop. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news, so get yourself ready. Paula, back to Apple just for a moment. The New York Daily News has uncovered an amazing new feature of the iPad, which Apple has not been advertising. What do iPads do?
Absorb.
I'll give you a hint. Horrible bacterial infection. There's an app for that.
Well, that's worse than what I said. They clean themselves.
No, not quite the opposite.
They...
That's the problem.
They infect people?
Yes, they spread disease.
Oh, my.
The New York
heavens.
Daily News examined the iPads that are on display at one New York City Apple store, and they found unusually high quantities of a variety of nasty bacteria on them. Apple puts out dozens of these magical devices on display, and thousands of filthy New Yorkers put their filthy hands on them every day. One microbiologist advised using hand sanitizer before going near them and to use Windows-based tablet computers because no one ever touches them. Because remember, folks, when you touch a touchscreen, you're touching everyone that touchscreen has ever touched.
But wait a minute. I don't get this. I thought you said the New York Daily News figured this out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm used to seeing a journalist with maybe a microphone.
They've got swabs. They go in, they went into the iPad, the Apple store, and they swabbed these things. They tested it for bacteria.
What a weird thing to do.
Well.
It just wouldn't even occur to me. Well, I've been interviewed before. No one ever swabbed me.
Now, many Apple fans are turned off by this discovery, but the company, you know Apple, they've got a proactive strategy. They're going to announce in just a few months their new product, Ebola. Charlie, the FBI is warning that jihadists may have a new tactic. They're moving away from terrorizing people They found they can accomplish their goals by instead doing what to people?
Wow. Well, they've already tried to light their underwear on fire, and that didn't work.
No.
Lighting the shoes on fire didn't work.
Here's a hint.
Yeah.
I'm not bombing you. I'm not bombing you. I'm not bombing you.
They're all going. They're going to send a bunch of nasty, ill-tempered four-year-olds after us.
To do what to us?
Well, it's annoying as hell.
It's annoying. They're going to annoy us. That's their strategy. That's the plan. Specifically, they're going to do it this way. Since everybody's nervous about suspicious packages, the jihadists are planning to leave empty packages all over the place so they can create chaos and spread authorities thin. Also, they can finally get rid of those boxes from their last move. Security experts say terrorists will then expand their jihad of annoyance. They won't plant bombs in airplanes. They'll just bring on crying babies. They'll talk during movies. They'll get into the express lane with 20 items and 40 coupons. And they'll get onto those moving sidewalks at airports and just stand there. Come on! It's not a ride, Al-Qaeda! Come on! Coming up, it's a conspiracy, a very paranoid Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. And comedian Robert Klein joins us to play Not My Job.
From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Paula Poundstone, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Aaron Todd calling from Needham, Massachusetts.
Hey, beautiful Needham. I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great town. I've been here for about 2 weeks.
2 whole weeks?
Yeah.
Settled in?
Yeah, actually, I was just doing a little painting before I got on the line.
Wow. Well, what do you do there?
I edit a trade magazine for online casino and poker professionals.
We're running a game where we're trying to bluff a guy who runs a poker magazine?
There you are.
Okie dokie.
Well, let's see how you do, because we have invited you here to play a game in which you have to tell truth from fiction, Aaron. Carl, what is his topic?
It's like JFK, Roswell, and the fake moon landings rolled into one.
President Obama has been the focus of many conspiracy theories. Some say he was born in Kenya. Some say he's a secret Muslim. Others say he regularly makes lists of whose ass he's going to kick. Well... There is, just this week, a new President Obama conspiracy theory making the rounds. This one, truly shocking. Each of our panelists are going to tell you about an Obama conspiracy theory. Guess which one is being actively discussed right now. You'll win our prize. Ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right. First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
The Harvard Law School blog, John's Law, set off a firestorm last week when an anonymous contributor claimed that during his days on the Harvard Law Review, Barack Obama acted as an undercover ethics narc for the law school's disciplinary board. The blogger claims that he has unearthed files showing that Obama filed reports on students who were suspected of violating the school's honor code. The students were offered a choice, a formal hearing in front of the disciplinary board, or a certain amount of community service time of pro bono paralegal work for local legal services or community service organizations. Obama's identity was concealed, but he was regularly referred to as Habeas, the Prince of Torts.
Barack Obama accused of being a secret narc for the Law School Ethics Committee. Your next story of a tale being told about the president comes from Roxanne Roberts.
All those weekends President Obama is playing golf, he's really playing cricket, at least according to Tea Party bloggers. Conservatives were initially supportive when Obama took up the game last year until someone discovered there was once a cricket field used by diplomats at Andrews Air Force Base, one of the military courses the presidential party frequents. Those 18-hole games, claims Rep. Michelle Bachmann, are cover for Obama's childhood passion, which happens to be the second most popular sport outside of the United States. Further proof? His first state dinner last fall honored the Prime Minister of India, where the sport is huge. Quote, cricket is un-American, Bachman told the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Who plays a sport named after a bug?
President Obama secretly playing cricket, the sport of his youth. And your last story of a crackpot theory about Obama comes from Paula Poundstone.
Whoop, there he is, President Obama. He's in the 1993 Whoop, There It Is music video. He's the guy talking on his cell phone, 1 minute and 1 second into the video. Did you see it? Watch it again. That's him. Whoop, there he is. That's our president. That's so cool. You didn't see it? Go back. No, no, not that guy. The dude with the hat and the glasses, who looks like he's going to be president, pass a historic health care bill, narrowly steer the country clear of a depression, and then get slammed by an oil disaster. Did you see him? No, not that guy. That guy. It's him. Whoop. At least that's what the website Gawker said. Then CNN thought so. And they always vet stuff so carefully. And the Tea Party group Tennessee Sons of Liberty thought so, and they're fact finders. And Fox News, turns out it's not true. Wasn't him. Whoop.
All right, let us review your choices. Somebody is saying one of these things about President Obama. Was it from Charlie Pierce that he was an undercover informant for his law school ethics committee, turning people in? Was it from Roxanne Roberts that he secretly is playing cricket instead of golf like he says he is? Or from Paula Poundstone that he appears in a 1993 hip-hop music video? Which of these is the real conspiracy theory about President Obama?
Well, you can't bluff a poker player when he knows the answer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go with Paula's story about Barack Obama being in the music video.
You've seen the cards, have you?
Yes.
Well, this is great. We actually got the White House itself to comment on this. This is the Deputy Press Secretary at the White House.
For those who are scouring the internet looking for evidence that the president had a brief music industry career back in the 90s, I have a track you should check out. It's called Whoop, It's Not True.
That was the Deputy Press Secretary of the White House. And he has got the greatest name for a press secretary ever. His name is Josh Earnest. Congratulations, Aaron. You did know the answer. You were right.
Oh,
well done.
You.
You're into point for Paula Poundstone. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your home answering machine. Okay. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. If you want to get down, I'm going to show you the way. There it is. Let me hear you say.
And now the game where accomplished people do something that barely registers as an accomplishment. It's a game called Not My Job. From the Bronx to Second City here in Chicago to HBO to Saturday Night Live to big blockbuster films to us. Things were going so well for a while there. We're very excited to have comedy legend Robert Klein with us. His new special, Unfair and Unbalanced, debuts this weekend on HBO. Robert Klein, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Great to see you. So this is something like, if I'm not mistaken, your 47th HBO special.
Ninth.
Oh, the ninth. Okay.
I did the first one in 1975, and this is the ninth.
So you've done nine HBO specials going back, what, 35 years?
That's correct.
That's great. Have you finally got it right?
I don't think so. I'm geezerized, but I've gotten older, that's for sure.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because I can't think of another comedian who has had the kind of career you've had. In that you're still playing the same kinds of gigs. They're still making HBO specials for you. You haven't, moved on to something else.
Well, what is there to move on to?
I don't know. You could be doing, the Robert Klein Theater in Branson, for all I know. You could be installed in Vegas. But you're still hip. You're still living in New York. You're still doing HBO specials. Is there a secret to your longevity?
I don't know. I don't question it. The stuff keeps on coming back. I learned that improvisational technique at Second City when I first went there in 65, 66. And I still do it. And instead of with another actor, I kind of use the audience as the other actor. And what comes out of my head, we write down, and I kind of hone into a bit.
Now, you recall, we saw you referred to as the first observational comic. What does that mean?
I have no idea. A lot of the people saw me, like Seinfeld and Leno, and they said, you know, I could do that. I don't know. That's kind of a left-handed compliment. You know, I went to college. I could do that. I mean, I didn't have cufflinks and the normal imprimatur of the comedian.
And so can you describe your comedy if I had to make you do it at gunpoint?
I suppose it's observational comedy. I guess that's the best way to describe it. I have no idea what it means, of course.
Yeah.
I learned the technique. There's no Yale Drama School for stand-up comedy.
Which is, and you would know, because you went to Yale Drama School.
I did, and I think Second City was infinitely more valuable, and I got $150 a week instead of my father paying that expensive tuition at Yale.
Did you want to be an actor when you were little?
I think I did, but I really wanted to be a doctor. It pleased my parents. A few things got in my way: calculus, physics, biology, organic chemistry, reading, spelling, comprehension, attendance, behavior, and talent.
So other than that, what was it about being a doctor? Just like the white smocks? What?
Well, I'd rather play them. Just like I played Pacino's doctor, I played J-Lo's doctor, I played a lot of doctors.
Well, what is it about you that everybody says, we need a doctor, get me Robert Klein?
You know what?
What?
That's the way it is. But normally I'm cast as essentially an old Jew.
Well, you've got that nailed. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. Why are so many of the great comedians of your generation and after your generation Jewish?
Well, I don't know. To quote Helen Thomas... what are you going to do but be funny? You know?
We understand your new HBO special has, like, you have a full orchestra?
Yes. We got an orchestra from the University of Miami. Actually, it's called the Henry Mancini Institute, since his estate pays for this excellent music school. So Moon River, it could be Moolah River,
there,
because they did very well.
Well, tell me about the show. What is it like?
Well, it's a little edgier than they have been. We had to contact a lot of lawyers in this one.
Really?
More than usual.
Well, who are you worried about offending?
They were concerned about various politicians, but when they fact-checked, they found out that, Senator Craig did try to have sex in an airport men's room. I want to get out of as quickly as possible.
Right, I understand.
Yeah. I have never walked into an airport men's room and gone, you know, a fella could settle down here. Plenty of lighting, lots to read, toilet paper, and good churches and schools nearby, you know.
You can meet someone and settle down.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, I it's these guys I get after who infuriate me because they live this hypocritical life. And, you know, other people who weren't so values-oriented but who are being redeemed currently, like Elliot Spitzer, who is, he's bright, but, gosh, $3,500 for sex in this economy? $3,500, I could have gotten him a ticket to a Yankee game. This should dispel that ugly stereotype forever that Jews always get a good bargain.
That's true. I don't know what was more of a scandal, that he saw a prostitute or that he paid retail, as far as I was concerned. You've been doing this a long time. You hosted Saturday Night Live during its first season.
In its the fifth show in the series, and boy, were they nervous. At NBC, they hadn't done a live show since Howdy Doody in 1953. Also, the next time I hosted in 77, I was the customer in the original cheeseburger sketch.
Really?
Yes, I wanted eggs. Remember?
I remember it vividly, actually.
That was so funny that we couldn't even get through rehearsal. We were laughing so hard.
Did you think that it would last back then?
No, not 35 years. It's an unbelievable phenomenon. Because everybody has put it down, and I'm tired of it, and no matter how tired of it they are, they still watch it, and it still lives, and I think it's better that it's on than it's not.
I have a question. Did you think you would last? Because some humor is universal, but some of it is generational.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget, the audience gets older with me.
That's true.
Oh.
So they're generational. So, I mean, I just keep it up, and I don't want to question it.
Right, so you start you do jokes about losing your virginity, and everybody goes, yeah. You end doing jokes about losing your hair and your sight, and everybody goes, yeah.
That's true. I'll tell you a real good one. I first saw this in Washington, D.C., and a lot of towns have it now. When you're crossing a street or a boulevard, there's a countdown clock.
Yes.
That tells you how long you have.
To get out of the crosswalk, yeah.
And it's like a nightmare.
Really?
You know, a dream, like 30, 29, 18... 4, and I'm not halfway across, you know. I have this dream that I keep on walking against the wind like Marcel Marceau.
Well, Robert Klein, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here today to play a game that we're calling...
Goal!
impressive. That was well done.
What was the name of that game? It sounded like an air raid siren.
As we have mentioned, the World Cup starts this weekend, yes. And since you're an American, we assume you don't care.
Right.
But more to the point, that you don't know anything about it, thus a suitable subject for our quiz.
Okay.
We'll ask you three questions about World Cup history. You get two right, you'll win our prize, one of our listeners. Carl's voice in the home answering machine. Carl, who is comic Robert Klein playing for?
Peter, Robert is playing for Mary Margaret Tickle from Nashville, Tennessee.
All
okay,
right.
Okay, Mary Margaret.
All right, here we go. Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
The first question. Before the World Cup gets everybody excited, the draw for the World Cup gets everybody excited. That's when officials randomly select teams to play each other. In 1982, organizers decided to spend $9 million in a live international broadcast of the draw ceremony, and something went wrong. What? Was it A, upset at having to play powerhouse Brazil in the first round, the representative from Djibouti vomited on live TV? B, in a show of charity, they gave orphans the honor of drawing the names from the barrel, and the orphans screwed it up? Or C, a number of soccer hooligans crashed the event and mooned the cameras?
Well, I hope that a bunch of soccer hooligans mooned the cameras.
Is that your choice, a wishful thinking?
It is.
That's your actual guess?
Yes.
I'm afraid it was the orphans. The,
no.
The underprivileged children were found at a Madrid orphanage, and they messed everything up. They picked countries out of the spinning cage in the wrong order, and a German official, naturally, shouted, "Get it sorted, boys!"
Oh, that gives such a bad name to orphans, really.
I know. You still have two more chances here, Robert. In 1958,
yes. The
French team ran into an unexpected difficulty in their World Cup. What? A, their star forward challenged their striker to a duel. B, they ran out of clean uniforms. Or C, they refused to take the field against the German team until it apologized for World War II.
I think the dirty uniforms.
You're right.
Yeah.
This is what happened. The French had very low expectations, so they didn't bring enough clean uniforms for more than a couple of matches. And they did really well. And so all of a sudden they had to run to the laundry to get
all
ready
that
for the next
cheese. You know.
Yeah, oh yeah. This is exciting. You picked that one up pretty easily, so you get this last one right, you win our prize.
Okay.
Now, this World Cup, the 2010 World Cup, is hardly underway, and already there's controversy. What is the problem this time? A, the North Korean team insists on listing their dear leader, Kim Jong-il, as their goalkeeper. B, some players believe the new ball is demonically possessed. Or C, some of the British players have demanded field passes for both their wives and their mistresses.
There was a lot of controversy about the ball. They didn't like the ball.
So you're going to go with that?
I am.
You're right. That's exactly right. Every year, every World Cup, that is, Adidas introduces a new ball, supposedly some improvement on the old ball.
Yeah.
And the players always hate it, but what's new this year is their actual complaints that the ball is possessed and doesn't want to be kicked. Said one Brazilian player of this new ball, quote, "You're going to kick it and it moves out of the way. I think it's supernatural. It's very bad." Carl, how did Robert Klein do on our quiz?
Robert had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Mary Margaret Tickle. Congratulations.
Well
Robert.
Done.
That's good.
There you go. Congratulations on your ninth special. It's terrific to have you with us. Robert Klein.
I had a great time. Thank you all.
Bye, Robert.
Bye, bye, Paula.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye.
In just a minute, Carl figures out how he's going to win the Tour de France and our listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air.
From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Carl. In just a minute, Carl returns to the scene of the rhyme in our listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, a panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, one great thing about the World Cup is that players from all different countries and cultures come together in one place. But officials have to prepare for that. For the World Cup, referees have undergone special training in what?
Cursing!
Yes, you got it! Swearing. The Brazilian referees calling the U.S.-England game this weekend, for instance, learned all the horrible, filthy things that are bound to come out of those players' mouths. As one ref said, all players swear, and we know we will hear a few. They're just learning a dirty English now and not learning the swears in every language because scientists predict the sun will expand and destroy the Earth in about 1 billion years, so there's not enough time left for that.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, by the way. The idea that there's any such thing as an offensive curse word. But here's guys that don't know what the words mean, and so they're learning what they mean, presumably in some sort of a classroom setting, in order so that they can be offended. Okay, what if all the players get together ahead of time and just agree that canned beans is the worst thing you could possibly say? And now every time the ref makes a bad call or just frustrates a guy with his adrenaline going, they just go, canned beans! Would they still be thrown out of the game for that?
That's a great existential question. After word got out about these swearing seminars in South Africa, the White House sent Barack Obama to attend the sessions and hope he might finally learn something. Paula, this week it was revealed in the French press that President Nicolas Sarkozy has imposed a requirement on his bodyguards that they be what?
A cologne free.
No. I'll give you a hint. These new bodyguards have to go buy their Kevlar vests in the kids section.
They have to not be big?
Right. They have to be short.
Yeah.
We have reported previously in the show about the 5'5" President Sarkozy using a booster behind podiums, about his hiring short extras to stand behind him in speeches and official photographs. Now a police source has told La Parisienne newspaper that tall applicants for the president's security detail are all turned away. This one may be a bad idea because, you know, you want your bodyguards to be tall. But don't worry. President Sarkozy is also instituting a height limit for assassins.
That's good thinking.
So we just have another little Napoleon. Then,
we do. He's actually, and the French press loves pointing this out, he is shorter than Napoleon.
How tall was Napoleon?
Napoleon was about 5'6", 5'7". Napoleon, this whole Napoleon was short thing has gotten totally overblown. But Nicolas Sarkozy, he's short.
You know, they could get rid of this guy in the next election if they just changed the name of their position of leadership. So if it was that you had to run for little fella.
Yeah, exactly. Short stuff. Roxanne, this week the New York Times reported on a memo that GM sent out to its employees and dealers in its Chevrolet division. They wanted these people to stop doing what?
I don't know. Saying Chevy's dead? Isn't Chevy coming back or something like that?
Well, it's not so much saying Chevy's dead.
Saying the word Chevy.
Exactly. They don't want to say the word Chevy. From now on, for example, when you sing American Pie, you have to say, take the Chevrolet to the Levrolet, but the Levrolet ran dry. GM apparently decided that calling Chevrolets Chevys somehow dilutes the brand. In the memo, they told their managers, this is true, to put out Chevy jars, you know, like swear jars, every time somebody says Chevy, as in, it'd be easier to sell space heaters in hell than these Chevys. They have to put a quarter into the Chevy jar.
Wait, is this a strategy to sort of rebuild?
Well, it was two things. The idea was they wanted to consolidate and clarify their brand, Chevrolet, and also by using those Chevy jars, we have to put a quarter in every time you say Chevy, it was their best path out of bankruptcy. That was it. That's how they're going to make a profit.
Is this the latest, dumbest thing they've done
yes,
in a long
time? Yes, in fact, it was so late and so dumb that everybody went nuts because everybody talked about the great history of Chevys in America. So they have rescinded the policy at the end of the week. They said, oh, no, we didn't mean it. Employees are still free to call Chevrolets Chevys or any other nicknames they might want to use, such as the un-Toyota. or the worst mistake I ever made. We're allowed to do that.
They were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and you can check out our blog, where all the panelists are cats. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Kathy in Reno, Nevada.
Hey, how are things in Reno?
Cold and gray.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've heard it's the biggest little town in the world.
That's right. It is.
Well, welcome to the show, Kathy. Carl Castle now is going to read you three news-related limericks with that last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner.
Okay.
Here is your first limerick.
I've won bike races more than my quota. Though I win every race, I'm no gloater. They'd question my powers, and things might go sour. They'll notice my bike has a...
motor.
Right! Those poor professional bicycle racers. They train hard, they take HGH and steroids, they have their blood changed at clinics in Switzerland. And then along comes these cheaters. These little motors, they're called Gruber Assist motors. They're so small, they can be hidden inside the bike's tubes, giving assist to the person pedaling. Former pro David Cassani told the New York Times he knows cyclists are using these motors, but he didn't name names. Motor doping may have already spread to other sports. NFL players are using motorized footballs. Baseball umpires are using motorized eyeballs to blow calls. And did you ever wonder how Tiger Woods managed to do what he did? Did you ever? All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
That roach called my wine too acidic, and my pork loins he deemed an emetic. He eats mold out of jars, but my fridge gets no stars. Who'd have thought that a roach is a...
critic.
Right. If scientists at the University of London are to be believed, cockroaches are picky about what they eat and even recommend good food to each other. They release a, quote, foraging pheromone, which is the cockroach equivalent of 3 stars from Michelin. This scientist say explains why cockroaches are often seen in groups of two or more and why the most recent editions of the Zagat guides include anonymous quotes saying, garbage not sufficiently aged, or, quote, waiter a little too quick to stomp you. All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
At the cage where the orangutans rumen, we get bored with the zoo's homely crewmen. So please make our day, put yourself on display. Apes have fun when observing a...
human.
Right. Scientists at Melbourne Zoo in Australia say that all this time we've been under the impression that we go to the zoo to see the orangutans, but actually the apes themselves think of us as a sort of rotating exhibition. We provide hours of uninterrupted entertainment for their benefit. The orangutans are like, look at that guy. He's so bald. Carl, how did Kathy do in our quiz?
Kathy, you are perfect. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine. Congratulations.
Well done, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for playing.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Let the monkey out, let the monkeys out. Show the fools what it's all about. Holla out, yo, 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 say, yo, 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 yo. Let the monkeys out. Show the fools what it's all about. Holla out, yo, yo, yo. Now it's time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Paula Poundstone has the lead. Peter, she has 4 points. Roxanne Roberts has 3. Charlie Pierce has 2.
Okay. Charlie, you are in 3rd place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. After its stock reached a 14-year low, Blank said it was, quote, not aware of any reason which justifies this share price movement, unquote.
BP.
Right. Just 2 days after Tea Party candidate Sharon Angle became his official opposition, Senate Majority Leader Blank aired his first campaign ad.
Harry Reid.
Right. On Thursday, the Senate defeated a resolution nullifying the Blank's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions.
The EPA.
Right. Famed UCLA basketball coach Blank died in Los Angeles at the age of 99.
John Wooden.
Right. Researchers have discovered that crocodiles are able to travel long distances by blanking.
Rail.
No, by surfing. California Senate candidate Carly Fiorina found herself in the national spotlight this week after she was overheard making fun of Barbara Boxer's Blank.
Hair.
Right. The Federal Bureau of Prisons announced that disgraced former lobbyist Blank was being relocated to a halfway house.
Jack Abramoff.
Right. Actor Charlie Sheen, convicted on domestic abuse charges, is working in a deal with prosecutors that could mean part of his community service would include Blank.
Not being Emilio Estevez.
No. The deal would allow part of his community service to be working in community theater. CNN reported the proposal would force Sheen to teach acting classes and work backstage during Theater Aspen's summer season. The prosecutors are afraid Sheen would not follow prison rules while at the theater and that working at the community theater would not be punishment enough. They're advocating a far harsher sentence that instead would force Sheen to actually watch community theater. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Charlie has the lead.
All right. Very well done, Charlie. Next up is Roxanne. Here, please fill in the blank. For the first time since 1961, the Blanks won the Stanley Cup.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes, they did. After being arrested at New York's JFK Airport last weekend, 2 men from Blank were arraigned Monday on terror charges.
New Jersey.
Right. Because of its nuclear program, the UN Security Council tightened sanctions against Blank on Wednesday.
North Korea?
No, against Iran. AT&T admitted this week that a security breach had exposed the customer data of over 100,000 Blank owners.
iPad.
Right. A 100-year-old butcher shop in Spain has introduced the world's first Blank.
Century-old roast beef sandwich?
No. The world's first meat vending machine. Elton John was reportedly paid $1 million to perform at Blank's 4th wedding.
Rush Limbaugh.
Right. At 5,500 years old, scientists say they discovered the world's oldest leather blank in a cave in Armenia.
Shoe.
Right. In a memo to staff, a Louisiana Energy Company president said that violations of the company's blank policy would lead to catastrophes like the BP disaster.
Sexual harassment.
No. Violations of the company's swivel chair safety policy. The company already had one swivel chair-related accident. So the president stopped by a local branch and found a manager sitting in a swivel chair with his feet on the desk. He lost it. He chastised the entire company for flouting their swivel chair rules. He said, quote, permitting the smallest exceptions to our policy is unacceptable and results in catastrophes such as the BP disaster, unquote. In a related story, BP itself reported that they've been unable to stop one of their chairs from spinning for 6 weeks.
I'm shocked I missed that story. I can't understand how that didn't move up to the top of the headline.
I want to put in a dollar in the meat machine just for fun.
Let's see what
what's in the meat machine?
I want to shake it and see if I can get a side
peanuts
of beef for free. You know, sausages,
really?
Steaks.
Like hanging there like
yeah.
Little hooks?
Reach in. That was my imitation of a side of beef hitting the bottom of a vending machine.
It's very good.
Thank you. Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Roxanne had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 13. But
all
Charlie
right.
Pierce has the lead still with 14 points.
All right. How many, then, does Paula need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
Ready, Paula?
You know, I knew all their answers.
You didn't know the meat machine.
Okay, I didn't know the meat machine. But
did you know Iran?
I knew Iran. I knew the Charlie Sheen thing. I knew everything. What do you want to bet? I don't know one.
Ask her the meat machine question again.
All right. Paula, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. President Obama urged Israel to consider ending its blockade of blank.
At Gaza?
Yes. In spite of their anger at BP, politicians in Louisiana are urging the Obama administration to lift the temporary ban on blank.
Offshore oil drilling?
Yes. According to an internal investigation, at least 200 graves at Blank are misidentified.
Arlington.
Right, Arlington National Cemetery. On the second day of testimony in his corruption trial, the judge asked Blank to sit still and not show so much emotion.
Blagojevich?
Right. Experts in Austria aren't sure whether to trust an abandoned cobra, even though the note on its box said Blank.
Very friendly.
No, it said, I am no longer venomous. The college sports conference structure was shaken Thursday when it was announced that Blank would join the Pac-10.
Hillendale Preschool.
No. That would be great, though. The University of Colorado.
Yeah.
A bidder paid more than $276,000 for the dress that Blank wore in her first appearance as Prince Charles's fiancée.
Princess Diana.
Right. The Sunday Times Magazine in Britain raised eyebrows when it announced that its new health columnist will be Blank.
Its new health columnist will be Scooby the Clown.
No. Ozzy Osbourne.
Why didn't I know that?
Readers of the new Dr. Ozzy column will definitely get a unique point of view when paragon of health and fitness Ozzy Osbourne answers their questions. Ozzy said when the Times asked, he thought they were joking. Quote, but then I thought about it for a while and it makes perfect sense. I've seen literally thousands of doctors over my lifetime. By all accounts, I'm a medical miracle. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz? Did she do well enough to win?
Paula needed 5 to tie. She had 5 to tie. So with 14 points for both Carly and Paula, they're this week's co-champions.
Well done. Nicely done, guys.
Thank you. Usually at that point, a vuvuzela would blow.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what big surprise will come out of this year's World Cup. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And the National Association of Realtors, providing information for those buying or selling their homes at houselogic.com/buy and sell. Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on local professionals, from physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers. Details at angieslist.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager this week is Patrick Kelly. Our intern is Siri Belusu. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Les DeLarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big World Cup scandal? Paula Poundstone.
The ball never, ever gets kicked because it's possessed.
Roxanne Roberts.
Confused by the meaning of World Cup, thousands of surgically enhanced women will descend on Cape Town wearing only their double D bras.
And Charlie Pierce.
In a bow to conservationists all over the world, the team from the Ivory Coast will henceforth be known as the Imitation Plastic Elephant Tusk Coast.
Well, if any of those things happen at the World Cup panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will be back with you from here next week. This is NPR.